The following is from East Delta Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at www.eastdeltabc.com.
31-year-old father. You believe that? Jeremy's a 7-year-old father. You believe that? My son Jacob's a 4-year-old father. Christopher's a 13-month-old father. You ever thought about it like that? I'm not a 57-year-old father. I'm a 31-year-old father because 31 years ago, is that right? That's a long time, dear. 31 years ago, I won't tell you how old JC is, but my oldest daughter was 31 years ago, I became a father. 7 years ago, Jeremy became a father, so let me tell you children something. Your father has wisdom. They have wisdom from a life of growing up, but at the same time, a lot of them are just kids, right? 31 years ago, 7 years ago, 13 months ago, 4 years ago, and you all can think right now how old a father you really are. And we're going to talk today about what we need to do to be a great father. Now, I'm not going to get anybody to raise their hands, but I want you to think about this. Do you want to be a great father? And I hope you would say, well, sure I do. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great grandfather. I want to be my children are gone. You know what? If they're grown and gone, you're still a father, aren't you? You still have children, don't you? So if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be down in verse 21. Now, some of you will know this passage. Maybe some of you ladies are like, well, great, why are we going there? If you know the passage, then you're saying that. If you don't know it, then you're going to quickly see. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is talking about marriage, okay? And here's what he says. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's for both of us. Submit to one another. Why? Out of reverence for Christ. Not because one or the other deserves it, but because if you're a born-again Christian, you're a child of God's. And he says, well, you need to submit to one another. Then he says in verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, and we'll talk more about that. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. And now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And husbands, verse 25, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy and cleansing by the washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, without wrinkle, or any blemish, but holy and blameless. That's the ideal. Christ gave himself to the church that he might present the bride of Christ as a radiant church with no stains, with no wrinkles, with no blemishes, but presented to God as holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands, you are to love your wives as your own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, all others. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but we feed our body, we care for our body, just as Christ does for the church, and we are members of Christ's body, husbands and wives. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, and he'll be united to his wife. He'll cling to his wife, and that's a little side joke, okay? John, after his wedding, said, boy, we done a lot of clinging in there today, so we did do a lot of clinging. Cleaving, oh, I'm sorry, a cleaving. I thought it was clean. Well, you remembered cleaving. That was the purpose. No comments from the cheap seats up here, okay? So for this reason, a man will leave his father, his mother. He will be united, become one with his wife, and the two are one flesh. Now, this morning, we're talking about how can we be a great father. And I'll tell you what God's Word says. To be a great father, we must first be a great husband. You hear that? For us to be a great father, we have to be a great husband. Today, we're celebrating and honoring our fathers. And folks, being a father is a great responsibility. Think of this, dads. What you do today has impact and implications, whatever you're going to say, for generations to come, for years and years to come. And our children learn by watching us. Now, I want you to think about this. If you've learned to do something, I'm talking to men, but ladies, you too. If you learned how to do something, you probably learned that by watching someone. And if it's working outside or working around a farm, or if it's you're not into that kind of stuff, but you're let's say you're an electrician or you're a builder of some type, or you have some type of trade, you probably learned a lot about that from watching your dad. Now, you may say, well, my dad was not a great dad, or I didn't have a dad, or he was absentee dad, or, well, you learned from some person. But let me tell you, if that's your case, we're going to close with this. We have a heavenly Father that desires to be your father. So we still have an example that we can follow that can lead us, regardless of how our earthly father is. So Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way that he should go. What's the last part of that? And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That doesn't say that he's always going, or she's always going to be exactly where she needs to be. It means if we do the training today, fathers, if we are the kind of fathers that lead by example, that train our children by example, then when that child grows and matures, they'll not depart from what they've learned. Now, I want you to think again about this. What have you learned? And I always have to go to myself as an example. My mother, and I've told y'all this many, 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 many times, that she would say, you are just like your daddy. And it was not a compliment. I don't think it ever was a compliment. The older I get, my sister says, you're just like daddy. And she says, you look just like daddy. Well, I don't think that, but, I guess I do. But she said, you act just like daddy. Well, I didn't do that on purpose, did I? Why did I do that? Because I was trained up that way. Daddy didn't necessarily say, hey, you need to do things like this. I watched him, and I learned from him. I may have told y'all, when I was a kid, we lived out in the country, and we lived in an old house that I could just go on and on. You'd think I'm too young to live in this kind of house. We had an outside toilet, bathroom. We draw water out of a well. We had a milk cow. And Daddy drank Coca-Colas in a bottle back then, and Daddy would hold that bottle. I was always amazed, you know. He would hold that bottle like this and walk to that barn to milk that cow. And I would look at him, and I would take my bottle, and I would try to hold it till I just dumped a little bit out, because I kept thinking, how is that not pouring out of there? So everything he did, I wanted to be just like him. I tried to step in his footprints from the house to the barn, because I thought that was the way to be. I thought everything was just right. And what was happening, I was being trained up. Now, fathers, here's the deal. We're training our children the way they should go, good or bad. They're going to learn from you, good or bad. They're going to respond to their wives as you respond to your wife, good or bad. And I think we need to understand that. We need to start training our children from birth. And here's the first thing we need to train them. We need to train them about the obedience of the Lord. And we need to train them about the Lord and show them that our actions prove that we love the Lord. Folks, in the world we live in today, you better start building the foundation right now that your children can understand the Lord and the God and our Father, because they're going to have to build on that, and it's going to have to withstand the storms of life. And fathers, that starts with you. And God created the family first. He had Adam and Eve, and God told them to be fruitful and go and multiply. And Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel and Seth and many more sons and daughters. That's what the Bible says over his 800 years of life. And listen to Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. And he created male and female, and he created them, okay? Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, okay? Adam and Eve, all right? God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number or multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. You know what? That commandment has never changed. It's never changed. God still says, I created man and a woman, and I told them to go and be fruitful and multiply and increase in number and take the earth, fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground. God set a standard for a family that was one man, one woman, and children. That was the family. Now, there's folks that can't have children, that don't have children. That doesn't mean you're not a mother and father. There's a lot of different avenues for that. There's adoption. There's also just working in the church and having children and training up children. But we need to understand today, our families are under attack. We're told today that normal family can consist of two men and children or two women and children. And we're told if we go against that, then we're haters and we're homophobes and we're all of these different things and you're labeled. And after all, we need to fit in. And it's sad to me that too many people and too many churches are saying, yeah, I think we just need to fit in. I think we need to just go along to get along. And you know what? That's not what God's Word says. You turn on your TV, I bet you today, it's getting more and more on TV. You're going to see a commercial or you're going to watch a TV show. And in that TV show, there's going to be either a homosexual character or a homosexual couple. And all of that's going to deal with that type of subject matter. It's put before us constantly. Denise and I, we watch a couple of the same shows all the time, and we see a new commercial, and she or I'll say, did you see that commercial? And I tell you what, I turn it, and then I may turn it back after the commercial goes off. But you know, we're bombarded with that, and what is that doing? That's trying to tear down the traditional family. If a traditional family in America falls apart, America will fall apart. You know, that's been said by many people. That's been said by a lot of presidents, that our strength as America is in the family. And today, if we understand, Dad's, what that responsibility comes, we need to understand we have to step up and we have to take our place in God's design for the family. Okay, if you say, well, yeah, I agree with all of those things, but I've seen some shows and there's none of that type of stuff there. I want you to think about how many shows show a dysfunctional type family. Now, I know we deal with that. I know there's families that are dysfunctional, and I think that's part of the church's responsibility is to help people work through that. But think about how many shows they show the father as stupid or cruel or dumb, and even in commercials, the same thing. They show shows today that children saying families really don't matter and we really don't need dads and we really don't need the family setting. And we need to understand, this may sound silly to you, but if you really think about it, that's an organized effort to destroy the family. That's an organized effort to destroy fathers. You know, in Canada, there's a hate speech law in Canada right now. It's illegal for pastors to preach against homosexuality. It's against the law for them to say that is an abomination to God. If they are caught preaching that, then they can be sent to prison. I mean, that's where laws have changed. You know what? God's laws has never changed. And that's not my sermon this morning. Listen to this. Chuck Colson, he runs a prison ministry. He said every Mother and Father's Day, his ministry gives cards to prisoners that they can fill out and send to their mothers. And on Father's Day, they can send cards to their father. He said they always give out more cards for Mother's Day than they do Father's Day. There's a large prison in California. Listen to this. On Mother's Day, they gave out over 1,000 Mother's Day cards for prisoners to send to their mothers. That same year, they gave Father's Day cards out. Does anybody want to guess how many inmates asked for cards for their fathers? 40, 200. Whoever said two is the closest. Six people. Six people. Now, over 1,000 sent Mother's Day cards. Only six prisoners said, hey, I want a card that I can send to my father. Today, we need to understand that fathers, it's our responsibility to step up and be the kind of father God wants us to be. That's what we need to do. That's what God called us to do. And on live TV shows and sporting events, what do the athletes always say? Hi, Mom. There's nothing wrong with that. Hi, Mom. And why not the fathers? Because so many cases, fathers are not where they need to be. And we no longer have time to be fathers. We have other priorities and we have other things. And we think they're more important than being a father. Folks, I'm including myself in this. Remember, I was 1 year old 30 years ago, and I was a 1 year old father, and I had some things I needed to learn. So I want to ask you, what is your first priority? Think about that. What is your first priority? Dad, what's your first priority today? Grandfather, what's your first priority today? Matthew 10:37-38 says, and dads, listen, I'm not griping at you today, okay? I promise I'm not. I'm in the boat with you. Here's what it says. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me, this is Christ talking, is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me, he's not worthy of me. You know what that verse is really saying? That verse is saying, fathers, we need to put God first. Before our spouses, before our children, before our jobs, before our possessions, before our pleasures. Put God first. Your spouse second. And you know where children fall in there? Third. Why is that? I say this a lot of times when I'm talking to couples that are going to get married. And every parent here knows at some point your children are going to leave you, aren't they? They're going to grow up, they're going to get married, and they're going to leave the home because that's what God's desire is. That's what God's design for marriage is. And it's going to be you and your spouse again. And after 20 years or 25 years or even 30 years, you don't want to wake up some morning and look over there and say, who is this stranger in my bed? Because my children are gone and we have nothing left. We need to be building that relationship. If we truly want to be a great father, then it needs to be God first, our spouses second, and our children third. Truthfully, what comes first in your life? I want you to just think about that. Truthfully, what comes first in your life? What takes priority right now first in your life? Here's what it says in Scripture. To be a great father, we need to be a great husband. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 5 again. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands and to the Lord. For husbands is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, of his body, which is of the Savior. Now as church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. Now, I started to leave this out of this message this morning. I started to say, I don't want to go there. But folks, it's not my word. It's God's word. So if you've got a problem with that, then take that up with God, because that's what God's word says. And understand this, ladies and men, this is not saying a wife is to be a slave to her husband. That's not what this says at all. It doesn't say that she's supposed to be their husband for your every beck and call and you go do what you want to all week as long as you're here when I get back. That's not what it says. It doesn't say anything about that. If you've been through, if I did your wedding, you heard this. Now, you may not have retained it, you may not have remembered it, but you heard this. That submitting to one another as your own, as you would submit to the Lord, out of reverence for the Lord. Now listen, I say this every time I talk to somebody. God put the husband as the head of the home. And you, some of you, y'all get this. If something has two heads, what is it? It's a monster. It's a freak, isn't it? I mean, if you got something and it's got two heads, it's something wrong with it. It's something not normal there. So in God's design for marriage, he said the man is to be the head of the family. And we talk about this. That's a rank like in the military. You got to have a leader in the military, but the soldiers follow, but they're all fighting the same battle. So that's what God says. All right, so wives, you have it easy, okay? You might say, oh, no. Yeah, you've got it easy because men listen. Here, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your husband, submit yourselves unto your husbands as to the Lord. So here's what that's telling wives. Husbands, listen. Go to your husband for spiritual guidance. Go to your husband for spiritual advice instead of going to a best friend or instead of going to another man. Listen, fathers, you know what that is? That puts an implication that we have to be the spiritual leader. You know why that doesn't happen? Too often the man's not even involved in the spiritual issues of the home. Too often the man is absent from that. Why? What's your priorities? What's your first priority? That's God's design. Now, here's where it gets tough on us men. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now, whether you grew up in church, whether you didn't grow up in church, I want you to think about everything Christ did for the church. Just begin to think in your mind. Begin to make a list. Ladies, don't make a list for him and hand it to him, okay? Let him do this on his own. Let us do it on our own. Think about all that Christ done for the church. Here's what it says. It says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He gave himself over to the church. Why did he do that? That the church would be holy. He cleansed her by the washing with water through his word. He presented and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, holy and blameless. Husbands, we're to love our wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. You know how much Christ loved the church? He loved the church so much that he laid down his life for the church. He gave his all for the church. He shed his own blood for the church. Now, husbands, what we think sometimes is we think, well, I go out and I bring home the bacon, I've done my part. Christ didn't do that. Christ said, hey, if you want to be a great father, here's the plan. You may say, well, you don't know my wife. She nags all the time. She complains all the time. She gripes all the time. She's doing this all the time. She's doing that all the time. And I want to ask you, did Christ ever say that about the church? Did Christ ever say, wait a minute, God, you don't understand this church? How much complaining do we do to God? How much complaining do we do when it rains too much, when it don't rain enough, when our car breaks down, when this happens or that happens or this happens and that happens, and we say, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why am I having to deal with this? You know, when we go to God and we complain to God, he doesn't simply say, hey, that's the way it is, that's the way it's going to be, you just need to tough it out. No, he says, you know what, I gave myself for you. He deals with us with love and with compassion. Boy, you may say, man, that's just not what I'm made out of. Well, you need to be made out of it because that's what God said. If you want to be a good father, you need to be a good husband first. I want to ask you this. How often do you make sure your wife's needs are cared for? Now, we're pretty decent at that sometimes. But how often do you do that? God made sure that all the church's needs were met, what God did for the church. He made sure their needs were met. He made sure they had security. He said, hey, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't worry, church, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to abandon you. I'm here for you. How often do you kiss your wife? I told you that story about old Bubba took his wife to the marriage counselor, and they were having this discussion, and the marriage counselor just picked up Bubba's wife, and he just laid her over and just planted a big old kiss on her and just went on and on, and boy, he let her go, and he said, "Bubba, she needs that 3 days a week at least." And he said, "Well, I play golf on Mondays, but I bring her on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays if I need to." How often do you tell your wife you love her? How often do you just let your children understand that, hey, I love your mom? Hey, I love your grandmother. Your children need to see that. They don't need to hear griping and complaining and hey, you do your thing, and you just go on and do whatever you do. I got this covered. Your children don't need to hear that. They need to hear this. I love your mother. And we need to show that. Why? Because we're training up a child in the way that they should go, because one of these days they're going to be married, and one of these days they're going to be a husband. And one of these days, they're going to think, how did my dad treat my mom? Because that's how it's done. That's why it's important for us guys to love our wives as Christ loved the church. When you married your wife, you became as one. That's what the scripture says. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to a wife, and the two will become one flesh. And this is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ in the church. When you became one, you no longer function independently. You know, marriage counselor says this, when couples start living independently, they're headed for divorce. You know what that means? That means she starts doing her own thing, he does his own thing. She may have her credit cards. He may have his credit cards. They don't really care what the other one's doing. Hey, I'm going to do this. I don't want you to do it. I don't care what you want. I'm going to do it anyway. And you begin to live two independent lives. You're headed for separation. Why? Because what does the Bible say? You became one flesh. If flesh is torn apart, what's it going to do? It's going to die. And if that one flesh is split down the middle, it's eventually going to die. And that's why God's Word says this, we should be united together and we become one. And we become part of the body of Christ. Here's our problem, I think. I'm not saying you have this problem, but I think as a whole, our problem is we're not committed to God. We may want to be good dads. We may want to be good fathers. We may even want to be good husbands. But hey, that's not our first priority. Our first priority comes somewhere else. Here's what verse 33 says. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself and as he respects himself. You know, this morning, if you got up and you ate anything or you drank a cup of coffee and you combed your hair and you brushed your teeth and you put on deodorant, if you didn't, you may be the only one on your pew, but you put on deodorant and you did all of those things. Why did you do that? Because you take care of yourself, don't you? We could say this, you love yourself. You're not going to let yourself starve. You're not going to let yourself be thirsty. And God's Word says this, love your wife as you love yourself. Take care of her as you take care of yourself. If you won't listen, in part of when we're getting ready to get married or something, you know what one of man's number one needs are? Is respect. It's a respect. And men, if you say, well, you don't understand this. My wife doesn't respect me. You know how to win somebody's respect? If you want to win your wife's respect, love her as Christ loved the church. Ladies, is that true? Oh, I must be way off mark. Are you falling asleep this morning? Yeah, so that gives you a pass, doesn't it? Katie, you better answer. Okay. Because I could see that fist doubling up over here. She's fisting to come with a right hook. Listen, men, if you want your wife to respect you, you love her as Christ loved the church, and I promise you she'll respect you. I promise you she'll be the best wife you've ever had. Why? Because that's God's design. That's God's desire for the family. But when we live in a time of selfishness and we live in a time of it's all about me and I'm not going to love you as Christ loved the church because I have other priorities that's more important than you and more important than family, then hey, I'm going to do that's the own thing. Well, you're going to lose the respect of your wife. But if you love her as Christ loved the church, that's a tall order. Then I promise you, your marriage is going to be successful. If your children see you the way you are, if they see you love your wife, if they see you give yourself as Christ gave himself for the church, and they see the wife submitting to her husband as to the Lord out of a reverence for Christ, your children are going to grow up and they're going to say, you know what? I understand what it means to have a great family. I've seen it. I witnessed it in my family. Here's the thing. It's not too late to start. It doesn't even matter if your kids are grown and gone. It's still not too late to start. You know what? We got to teach our children to respect authority. Amen? But that's our problem today. We got too many children that just do not respect authority. Where did they learn that? They learned it at home. They learned it from watching what takes place in their home. They learned that there's no real authority there. We just do our own things. I want to ask you this question. Do you treat your wife like you would want someone to treat your daughter? Think about that. Do you treat your wife just like you want somebody to treat your daughter? Or do you treat your wife just like you're teaching your son to teach to treat his wife? In other words, your son's looking, he looks at dad. Oh, this is how dad responds. This is how I'll respond. You see why I say it affects generations, fathers? What we do and how we train our children, it's going to affect generations from now. Because we're teaching children that way. One of the best ways to correct your child is to correct them with example. Listen, in Joshua 24, verse 15, and I'm fixing to let you off the hook, guys. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you'll serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods of your forefathers that served beyond the river, are the gods of the Amorites whose land that you're now living in. Remember we talked a couple of weeks ago about children of Israel. They're walking around in the wilderness. And it's time to move to the promised land. And Joshua calls them together and says, choose today who you'll serve. If you think it's more desirable to serve your foreign gods, whether it's work, whether it's fun, whether it's hobbies, whether it's anything else, choose this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what Joshua did in front of his children? He said, I'm choosing the Lord. As for me and my house, I'll choose the Lord today. And fathers, we have a responsibility to raise our children in the Lord. That is our responsibility. Don't rely on Sunday school teachers. Don't rely on vacation. Doesn't this look great? Doesn't this look great? It just looks good to have some color in here, doesn't it? Boy, I came in this morning, I was like, wow, this looks so good. And children were running up and down and looking at all the pictures and talking about how excited they were. And that's great. I hope all of your children are here at Vacation Bible School. But you know what, dads? It responds to you to lead your children to Christ. Oh, wait a minute, Jake. No, it does. Why? You're the spiritual leader in your home. We'll a lot of times, well, that's the woman's job. No. What did God say? You want the respect? You want to be a great father? Then God said, here's the plan. Be the spiritual leader in your home. Does your children know they can always count on you? We hear a lot about absentee fathers. Do your children know they can always count on you? You're there always, anytime they need you. You know what? That's easier than loving our wives, isn't it? That's easier than loving, just to let our children know, I'm going to be there. But here's where it starts. Love your wife. I'm going to close this. One Father's Day, a father was watching his son playing a sandbox, and there was a large rock middle of the sandbox. The young boy tried to pick it up. It was too heavy. He tried to roll it. He couldn't. He even laid on his back and tried to push it out with his feet, and that didn't work either. Finally, he walked over to his dad and said, Dad, come here. His son, dad went over there and he said, boy, I've tried everything to get this rock out of my sandbox. The father replied, son, you've not tried everything. The boy said, Dad, I've tried everything. I tried picking it up. I tried rolling it out. I tried pushing it. I tried all these things and nothing worked. And the dad reached down and he lifted the rock out of the sandbox and he said, son, you see, you didn't try everything because you haven't asked me for help. You haven't come and said, hey, Dad, can you help me with this? And, you know, in our marriage today, we may have a rock and we say, man, I've got a track record already and I'm not sure I can start over. I got this big rock in my sand pile. If you went to the Lord and said, Lord, I need your help that I might love my wife, that I might love my children's mother as you love the church. John 1:12 says this, yet all who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or human decision, but are of human's will, but been born of God. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. This is Father's Day, and we're here to honor our fathers. But we're also here to honor our Heavenly Father. All the glory goes to Him, our Heavenly Father. He's made a plan. If you build something, you know exactly how it's going to work best. What if somebody says, well, I think this will work better? You're going to say, no, I built it. I know how it will be successful. God built marriage. He built the family. And Satan is trying his best to destroy it. Fathers, he's got a hold of us and he says, you know what? What Jake talked about today, that sounds good. But if you're a manly man, you don't do that stuff. You be your own man. That's what Satan would say. And God said this, you want to be the best dad you can be. You love your wife as I love the church. Father, this morning I pray that as we hear these words, we wouldn't merely hear the words today and deceive ourselves. Father, I pray we wouldn't be like that good news that was spread there, the parable that was spread there, and the birds came and gobbled it up before we even left the church. But some took seed in just shallow dirt, and, I tried it for a week or two, but, man, we got in an argument, and I'm not doing that. That big old rock's in my sand pile. I'm not going to do that. Father, I pray today that your word would take root in our hearts as fathers. Father, our children, our grandchildren, children of the church would see what it looks like when a father truly loves as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Lord, this morning I thank you so much for the blessings we have, the many blessings we have in you. Lord, I pray that we would count our blessings of a loving wife, of loving children, of a loving church, and Father, most of all, regardless of what our earthly fathers have been, that we have a heavenly Father that becomes a blessing to us. And I pray that we would count those blessings in our lives daily. Lord, I thank you for our fathers. I thank you for my father and my mother and for the home that we lived in, the home we were raised in. And Father, I pray those areas that we need to change and I need to change, Lord, I pray that I would ask for help from you. You would give me strength and the ability to love Denise as you love the church. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.